ever catch yourself doing something and then think, wow, brain, that wasn't your finest moment? We're talking about those everyday mental stumbles where, you know, our logic seems to take an unexpected detour.
Yeah.
It happens to all of us more than we probably realize.
Absolutely. Those moments when our thinking doesn't quite line up with reality. Well, that's what we're exploring today.
Right.
We've been digging into Peter Holland's book, Brain Blunders. Uncover everyday illusions and fallacies, defeat your flawed thinking habits, and think smarter, or just less stupidly.
You know, what struck me about this book is it's really interesting mix. It's definitely got its entertaining moments. Some of the examples, well, they made me laugh, but also lays out some fascinating ideas based on how our brains actually work.
Yeah.
Almost like a really readable guide to the inner workings of our minds. And the aim seems practical, to help us navigate those common mental pitfalls.
That's right. Holland's drawing on his psychology background and interest in peak performance, he has this knack for making complex stuff understandable. His goal is to help us become more aware of these brain blunders, these sort of typical errors in how we think.
Oh, okay.
And while, you know, people have had different views on just how many concrete fixes the book offers.
Yeah, the actionability.
Exactly. But the underlying aim of increasing our awareness, that seems pretty clear.
And it's interesting to remember that Brain Blunders kicks off his Understand Your Brain Better series. So it's really laying the groundwork, isn't it? Looking at these fundamental ways our thinking can go off track.
Which brings us to what we want to do in this deep dive. Our mission, really, is to pull out the key insights from brain blunders.
Okay.
So you, our listener, can start to recognize some of your own potential mental missteps and, as the book playfully puts it, think just a bit less stupidly.
Think less stupidly. I like that. Okay, so at the heart of brain blunders is this pretty direct idea, isn't it? Hollins doesn't really pull any punches in suggesting that we're not nearly as rational as we might like to believe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, he comes right out and says, basically, you are not so smart. In fact, humans are not so smart.
Wow.
His point is that while we might be aware of some of our more obvious mistakes, it's the subtle, almost subconscious errors. Those are the ones that really shape how we think and the decisions we make.
It's a bit of a reality check then.
It is.
But in a way, it's also kind of encouraging. The goal isn't some perfect state of pure logic, right?
No, not at all. It's more about, as the book suggests, getting a better handle on how our thinking typically goes wrong. So we can be a little less wrong from time to time.
But that idea of normalizing these cognitive slip-ups,
yeah,
that feels important.
Oh, totally. It makes us more willing to look at our own thinking without immediately feeling like, you know, we've failed somehow.
Right.
And the book really emphasizes this idea of metacognition.
Thinking about thinking.
Exactly. It's not just about what you're thinking, but actually thinking about how you're thinking.
Okay. Now, Brain Blunders takes us on this, well, this fascinating journey through some of these common mental illusions, like a highlight reel of the ways our brains can trick us.
Yeah, it is a bit like that.
So let's explore a few. One that always makes me stop and think is the whole concept of free will.
Ah, yes. What's intriguing there is how the book touches on the idea that our sense of having complete free will might be, well, more of an illusion than we realize.
An illusion? How so?
It doesn't go super deep into specific studies, but it hints at how social situations and external factors can influence our choices in ways we're not fully conscious of.
Okay, so like peer pressure or just the context we're in?
Kind of, yeah. Subtle influences. And then there's the whole world of superstitions and magical thinking.
Right. I mean, who hasn't had a little twinge of unease walking under a ladder or felt like a lucky charm actually works?
Exactly. The book explores the psychological roots of these tendencies. It suggests they come from our basic human desire to feel in control, especially when things feel uncertain.
Makes sense.
It's about our brains trying desperately to find patterns and explanations, even when maybe there isn't a real connection there.
And speaking of things that influence us without us fully realizing, advertising.
Oh, yeah.
The book touches on how persuasive ads can be. It feels like they sometimes have a secret code to our desires.
Totally. Brain Blunders doesn't break down every single advertising technique, obviously, but it raises our awareness of how these strategies often tap into, like, fundamental principles of persuasion to guide our decisions.
Then there's memory. We tend to think of it as this accurate recording of our past.
Right, like a video camera in our head.
Yeah, but the book suggests it's a lot more flexible than that.
Flexible is a good word. Yes, memory is presented as both powerful and, frankly, surprisingly unreliable.
Unreliable.
Yeah. The book highlights how our memories aren't just replayed like videos. They're actually reconstructed each time we recall them.
Reconstructed, okay.
Which makes them susceptible to distortions. And it even explains things like false memories.
Whoa.
And that strange feeling of deja vu.
Okay. That makes sense of deja vu, actually. Huh.
Yeah. And of course, it wouldn't be a discussion of brain blunders without mentioning how we often overestimate our own abilities.
Ah, yes. I think we've all met someone who's completely confident, despite, well, a clear lack of skill in something.
Definitely. That touches on something similar to the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Right.
That tendency for people who aren't very good at something to think they're much better than they actually are. The book talks about this common habit of thinking we're above average, even when maybe the evidence doesn't quite back that up.
Guilty as charged, probably, sometimes.
We all are, I think.
Yeah.
On a lighter note, the book also explains why we sometimes see faces in, like, inanimate objects.
Oh, like faces in toast? Or animals in clouds? I love that story.
Me too. That's pareidolia. It's a really interesting example of our brain's incredible pattern recognition system just doing its thing.
So it's a feature, not a bug.
Kind of. The book explains that this ability, especially for recognizing faces, was likely a big advantage in our evolutionary history. Spotting predators or allies quickly, even if it sometimes leads us to see things that aren't really there now.
Fascinating. And we can't forget confirmation bias, can we?
Oh, definitely not. That's a huge one.
It's like our brains have a filter, right? It lets in information we already agree with and just blocks out anything that challenges our views.
Precisely. The book discusses how we naturally tend to seek out and favor information that confirms what we already believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we might downplay or ignore evidence that contradicts us. It's a really powerful force in shaping our beliefs and how we see the world.
Yeah, you see that online all the time.
Absolutely. And to round out this tour of blunders, the book also mentions logical fallacies.
Okay, those sneaky errors in reasoning.
Yep. The ones that can lead us to some pretty flawed conclusions.
Yeah.
It even gives examples like the straw man fallacy.
Where you misrepresent someone's argument to make it easier to knock down.
Exactly. And the no true Scotsman fallacy.
Ah, like no true fan would like that album.
Precisely. It's a way to dismiss counterexamples to protect a generalization. Recognizing these fallacies is so important because they can just derail productive discussions.
Totally.
So the book introduces some of these common errors in logic, helping us spot them, you know, in our own thinking and in what others say.
And finally, there's the anchoring bias. That first piece of info really sticks, huh?
It really does. That initial anchor, whether it's a price or a statistic or whatever, can have a surprisingly strong pull on our later judgments and decisions.
Even if it's totally random.
Even if it's arbitrary or unreliable. Yeah. What's really striking is just how many different ways our thinking can get tripped up.
It's kind of overwhelming when you list them out.
It can feel like it.
Yeah.
From perception to judgment to memory. And as you said, brain blunders gives us this broad overview, more of a sampler, rather than an exhaustive deep dive into each single one.
Right. It's an introduction. And I think the everyday examples, you know, the faces and things, the ads, that makes these concepts really relatable.
Definitely. Now, the book doesn't just point out these flaws. It also tries to explore the underlying reasons, you know, the why.
Okay, so why are our brains like this? Why do we have these irrational tendencies?
Right. It's about understanding the roots of why we make illogical decisions. And Hollins draws on both psychology and neuroscience to shed some light on this.
Mm.
Taking pareidolia again, seeing faces in toast. It's not just a random quirk.
No.
It's connected to our brain's highly developed ability to quickly recognize patterns, especially faces. That was vital for social interactions and survival back in the day.
Ah, the evolutionary angle.
Exactly. And as the book explains, superstitious thinking can be linked to our fundamental need to feel in control.
Right, especially when things are uncertain.
Precisely. When we're faced with uncertainty, our brains often try to find patterns or rituals that give us a sense of agency, even if those connections aren't actually based on real cause and effect.
It really highlights what the book calls the brain's deceptive nature.
Yeah, that's a key phrase. What we experience as reality isn't always a perfectly accurate reflection of what's actually out there.
So our perception isn't just a window, it's more like an interpretation.
That's a great way to put it. Our brains are constantly taking in information and actively constructing our experience of the world. And in that construction process, they're prone to making systematic errors.
Systematic errors.
It's not that our brains are intentionally trying to mislead us. necessarily. It's more that these blunders can be byproducts of cognitive shortcuts, heuristics.
Mental shortcuts.
Right, yeah. Those generally efficient mental strategies we use. Or they could be trade-offs that might have been advantageous from an evolutionary standpoint, even if they cause issues now.
Okay, so it's complicated. It's not just that we're broken.
Not at all. Often these are features, not bugs, just maybe operating outside their ideal context sometimes.
So with all these potential mental traps, what's the path towards thinking smarter, like the title says? Is there a way to navigate these common errors?
Well, the book's primary aim, as we kind of touched on earlier, is really to foster that metacognitive awareness.
Thinking about how you think.
Exactly. The underlying idea is that simply becoming aware of these common patterns of error is a really, really important first step, maybe the most important step.
It's interesting because I've seen some different reactions from readers about how actionable the advice in Brain Blunders actually is.
Right.
While Hollins aims to provide tools, some people felt the book focused more on understanding the problems rather than giving specific step-by-step solutions.
That's a fair observation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably accurate for this particular book, especially being the first in the series.
Okay.
While it might not give you a detailed manual for overcoming every single bias, it does offer examples of how this awareness itself can be put into practice.
Like what?
Well, recognizing the persuasive techniques used in advertising, for instance, just knowing about them can empower us to make more conscious choices as consumers.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
The book also implicitly encourages us to just pause and question our own reasoning more often.
Mm-hmm.
And those summaries and key takeaways at the end of each chapter, they really help to reinforce the main ideas, make them stick.
So they act as learning aids.
Exactly. For many of these biases, honestly, just being able to spot them, to name them in ourselves and others, can be a huge step towards mitigating their influence.
So the tool is often awareness itself.
In many cases, yes.
Yeah.
It's about cultivating that critical self-awareness. The action flows from the recognition.
Okay, I get that. It's about building that muscle of just noticing.
Precisely.
Now let's talk a bit about how the book presents all this. The writing style seems to be a key part of its appeal, from what people say.
Absolutely. That comes up again and again. The writing is consistently praised for being engaging, easy to follow.
Accessible.
Very accessible, yeah. Often with a touch of humor, which definitely helps. It makes what could be quite dense, potentially dry material, much more approachable.
Right. Talking about our flaws isn't always fun.
No. And the way the book is structured, blending those entertaining examples, insights from brain science, and the practical takeaways that keeps you involved. And those chapter summaries, as we said, are a really helpful structural element for learning.
And Hollins' background in psychology, that adds weight, doesn't it?
It definitely adds a layer of credibility to his explanations, yeah. It's not just someone riffing on ideas, it's informed by the field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that use of humor and a relatable tone, I think that's a deliberate choice. Talking about our cognitive limitations can feel a bit uncomfortable, maybe even threatening.
True.
But the book's approach helps to ease that, makes the information more digestible, less like criticism. And while it simplifies some complex ideas, which has to do to be accessible,
sure,
it generally does a good job, from what I can tell, of maintaining scientific accuracy, balancing clarity and integrity.
So as we start to wrap up our exploration of Brain Blunders, what are the real highlights, the key strengths that stand out based on what readers have said?
Okay, key strengths. Definitely the clarity and accessibility of the writing. That's huge.
Makes sense.
It makes these complex ideas understandable for a really wide audience.
Yeah.
The content itself is insightful. It prompts you to actually think about your own thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
It serves as a great entry point, or maybe a good refresher, on the topic of cognitive biases.
Okay.
And the engaging style just makes it an enjoyable read, which is important.
And what about any potential drawbacks or things people should maybe keep in mind?
The main feedback, as we discussed, tends to be that desire for more concrete strategies or fixes beyond just understanding the biases, more how-to.
Right, more actionable steps.
Exactly.
Right.
And perhaps for those who already have a solid background in cognitive psychology or behavioral economics, the book might feel like it's covering familiar ground, maybe a bit surface level for experts.
So who is Brain Blunders really aimed at then? Who is the ideal reader?
I'd say it's ideal for people who are new to this whole field of cognitive psychology, or those who are just curious about why we make thinking errors. Maybe they've noticed it in themselves or others.
Yeah.
And anyone who appreciates a straightforward, engaging way to learn about how the brain works, or rather sometimes doesn't work perfectly.
Got it.
It's a fantastic starting point for anyone wanting to become more conscious of their own cognitive biases and, you know, to encourage more critical self-reflection.
And it's probably important to keep in mind that any broad claims about achieving, like, optimal personal performance that might be linked to the book mm-hmm. are likely rooted in this foundational understanding of our cognitive errors, rather than the book being a direct guide to peak performance itself.
Precisely. That's a really good point. The book's core value is absolutely in building that awareness.
Yeah.
That's the foundation.
Right.
And that awareness can then lead to self-correction and more thoughtful decision-making down the line. It's about understanding the what and why of our brain blunders first. That how to address them often flows naturally from that increased self-awareness.
Okay. So as you, our listener, kind of digest all of this, maybe here's a final thought to consider.
Mm-hmm.
If our brains are as susceptible to these common blunders, as Peter Hollins suggests, maybe the very first step toward truly sharp thinking isn't about learning more facts or complex theories.
Interesting.
Maybe it's about recognizing, just acknowledging how often our own thinking can lead us astray. What blunders might you be falling for without even realizing it right now?